chronic pain. Drug makers say they didn't force these groups to advocate for their painkillers, but Purdue Pharma has just announced it's going to stop promoting OxyContin to doctors, and it's cutting its sales force in half. Some 340,000 Americans have died from opioid abuse since the year 2000. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
And watching Wall Street, the S&P down 13 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on expedition today, so you will not be hearing her dulcet tones. Good morning, everybody. Gosh, it's 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here in the studios of KCNR 1460 on February the 13th, 2018. The news, as always, is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Great service, as expected, and also the finest walk-in humidor in Northern California. All of this at Tobacco and Brew. Good morning, Bob. What are you doing?
Well, good morning. It actually felt a little bit more like February and less like May last night.
It was a little chilly. Hey, at 3 o'clock, at 2:35 in the morning when you walk outside.
As those with dogs do.
Yeah, it was a little chilly out there.
Overnight lows will be in the 30s for the next few days. Daytime highs in the mid-60s today, where we're going to be right around 66. Drops off a little tomorrow, a high around 57. Wednesday night down to 37, and then that starts warming back up. We head back up into the 70s as we round out our week. Next chance of any precipitation comes over the weekend with some showers on Sunday. Right now, a very slight chance. Washington's birthday will be mostly sunny and a high near 57. Right now in downtown Reading, we have 42 degrees, no rain anywhere on our horizon. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Okay. Did you say rain?
Very, very faint chance on Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas. Gosh, I'm choking up here. Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, locally operated, owned by Chuck and... Chuck and Judy Kenny.
Judy.
Chuck and Judy Kenny. You know, a better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. It's won awards for hiring veterans they have down at Shasta Gas Propane. You know, we're starting off today. We're going to, you know, jump right into this because we have we are fortunate enough to have James Crockett with us today, who has said he is running for city council in the city of Reading. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Carl.
Tell us who James Crockett is.
James Crockett is an individual who moved out here in 2010, looking to, wasn't really sure what I was looking for, but wanted to get a little bit of a change in life, visited a friend out here, saw the beauty, and was captivated, so I moved out and met a wonderful lady, and I've really focused on my family and getting a job and getting established here, and started attending city council meetings, and was a little bit upset at what I was hearing, and... thought, well, someone should do something about this. And over the last few, let's say 6 months here, I realized that somebody can be me.
There you go. So, and what do you do?
I teach at Shasta College. I teach as a high school and a college instructor. I'm always at Shasta College, but I'm working with at-risk students who have... whether behavior or grades have made it so they're no longer at one of the what we call comp sites, which would be Shasta or Enterprise. And they're a little bit down and out, but they're also driven and motivated, and they want to get back on the right track. And we help them with that with a combination of high school and college classes. And it's a great team out there. We see lives changed every semester, and it's those students are great. And they just need someone to believe in them, and they turn things around.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for what you do on that. Where'd you come from when you say you came out to California? Where'd you used to live?
I was born and raised in Casper, Wyoming, the reddest state in the union. And it was very similar to this kind of demographic, rural, feels like home here, but it's a lot prettier and a lot nicer in terms of weather.
I've been to Casper several times, and my father, during World War II, there used to be an army base there in Casper, Wyoming.
Yeah, it's not the size it used to be, but
there's still one there. Yeah, Dad was stationed there in training. He was training other soldiers before they all left to go to England and then on to D-Day.
Visited there once. A lot of oil people.
Yeah, Wyoming's like heavy in oil now, isn't it?
Yes.
Oil and gas.
Yeah, they were booming. Right as I was leaving, there was a little bit of a downturn now, but there's a lot of natural resources out there.
They were talking that you had to offer like signing bonuses for McDonald's to get people to work at McDonald's because everybody wanted to work out in the oil fields.
Yeah, I was the thing I was told is if I can pass a drug test, I could start at $60K, you know, just sign on the line kind of thing.
Were at teaching out there? Or
not teaching. I've since gotten a credential for teaching. That was a little bit of work there. But when I was out there after high school, you know, they were just looking for anyone that could pass a test, and they'd put you on a rig. I mean, it's pretty demanding work, but they'd make money. They'd have kids, you know.
Sure.
Kids that looked all scruffy and rough would come in and pay cash for a new car, that kind of thing.
Oh, we get that around here. Only it's green.
I was going to say we're starting to have that right around here. But okay. So we're here with James Crockett, who is a teacher and instructor out at Shasta College, but also for at-risk children or youth out there. I shouldn't say children, but youth out there. So they're teaches both high school and college classes out there to get them back on the
I teach over the summer, and I was going to teach over the winter break here, but they only let you work so much time as a part-timer. So I work with if anyone's heard of the Step Up program, another great group of students that just need someone to believe in them. But lots of good things going out there at Shasta College.
Well, I like what you said in here. You know, you handed me some of the things that you believe in, is that telling your students to go out and change something.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the students that come through the program, they believe, you know, they've been taught and believe that they're a victim of their circumstances. And I look them kind of square in the eye and say, no, you're responsible for your future. You can go out and get the future you want. And it's on you to do that. And so that's kind of what started the journey for me is, you know, I say that, you know, so many times a day, and then I start to contemplate, well, what kind of future do I want for my children, for the city, and for my community?
So I think that I really like that. I like that idea that the about taking responsibility, because I think if one thing has not maybe disappeared, but you're seeing a lot less of it, is the fact that people are not accepting responsibility, that it's society's fault that did this to me, and that I can't get a job because of whatever reason, or people are picking on me, or things like this. And when it comes down to, I guess I should have known when I had the 8 beers that I shouldn't hang upside down from the bar, from the pipes at the bar. And then when I fell off and busted my head, that it's the bar's fault. I think we've gotten into that type of mentality that it's, you know, it's easier to blame other people.
Yeah, and I always try to be empathetic and understanding. And a lot of the students I interact with, they have real serious hurdles that they've had to overcome and will continue to have to overcome. So I'm not in the business of telling them, hey, your issues aren't real. But whining about them isn't going to get you anywhere. It's not going to accomplish anything for you. So you might have not had, you know, a royal flush dealt to you. But sometimes, you know, you can win with something other than a royal flush. And you don't have to look to the media or anyone else to tell you what you can win with. You can look to yourself and decide what you want.
Well, I like that type of attitude. We're here with James Crockett, and he was an instructor out at Shasta College and working at-risk youth, but also is running for city council because, hey, if you want to make change, you got to jump into the fight. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be right back after these messages. But this portion of the show is brought to you by North State Security. North State Security has a program that will have a uniformed officer at your business or at your home within 10 minutes. That's right, within 10 minutes. If you're having a problem and you're in their program there, and it's not a real expensive program at all, you can have help. You know, it's going to take the police a long time to get to your home, especially if you're just, or your business, if you're just saying, there's somebody here, he's trespassing, and I want him out of my business. It's going to take the police a while to get there. North State Security will be there in 10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes. North State Security is the largest security firm north of Sacramento and is starting its 50th year in the business, locally owned, locally operated. And they're always looking for good officers, people that want to be officers in North State Security. And now it's a prevention since 1968. We'll be right back with James Crockett.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
The Ten Tenors are coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium March 16th with their acclaimed show, Wish You Were Here, a celebration of legends featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, and more. Fresh off their 20th anniversary world tour, the Ten Tenors return with their show, Wish You Were Here. With over 700 sold-out shows, six albums that have gone platinum and gold, it's the Ten Tenors. Don't miss your opportunity to experience this international singing sensation live at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets for this soon-to-be-sold-out show, the Ten Tenors, March 16th. Go to readingcivic.com for your tickets today. Tickets are also available at the Civic box office or by calling 229-0022.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 here in the renovation of downtown Reading right here at 1326 Market Street. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. It's 18 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. It's 47 degrees going up to 66 today. 37 degrees tonight. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans. 365-3793 and Ted Lighty and North and Firearms Instruction are bringing you this portion of the show. The largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California. Teaches in over 30 counties and getting ready to expand into two more. You're not going to get any better CCW training. Defensive pistol. Tactical rifle. Team building. This is something relatively new, having team building days for businesses where you go out and you shoot and compete against each other. And it's fun. It's very informative, teaching people how to safely use firearms. All of this at Northern Firearms Instruction. Check it out at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We're here with James Crockett, who is running for Reading City Council. And now we get to get into... We've learned about how he came here 7 years, 8 years ago now. teaches out at Shasta College and also works with at Shasta College with at-risk youth, mm-hmm. getting them on the straight track, and it works out there because they want to change things. But one of the things he says is you've got to learn to take responsibility for your own actions. And I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Absolutely, but I am saying that.
And that if you don't take responsibility, then you're not going to have change. Well, now he is, after telling his students this for several years, you want to make change.
Yep.
Okay, so how are you planning on making change if you're elected to the Reading City Council?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is listen, and that's what I've been working hard to do. And hearing people come in with different suggestions is, I think, the first part of any sort of change. You can't make change unless you know the direction you're going to go. So you want to make sure you're not going backwards, right? But I certainly think the answer to our problems can't lay in a large government structure that's taking care of everybody's needs, because then we're teaching, you know, the community not to take care of themselves. I think the community really needs to step up. And I will look at various ways to really bring people together, to catalyze things, to galvanize different individuals that might not see necessarily on the same political spectrum or see eye to eye on the same political issues, but it can all get together and say, we want a safer city, and we're going to do some things to come together and make sure that happens.
When you say the government's gotten too big, are you planning on going into privatization, having of parts of the city government so it gets smaller?
A lot of people talk about jail space, which is certainly an issue, but the bottleneck isn't actually the jail. The bottleneck is the court system. I mean, and the people that are getting into jail, they're not paying for their own lawyers, most of them, right? There's a lot of things that the general public don't see that's being spent. And so what I'd like to see is some matching funds somewhere from the community that's coming in, where we're coming together, we're coming up with ideas, that the community is coming up with ideas, and we're finding money that's matched by the community to come up with solutions for individuals instead of putting them into the court system. And obviously we'd have to, you know, in terms of establishing ordinances and whatnot, but instead of going into the criminal justice system to, you know, someone can plead out and they'd be handed over to a community group, and we'd work with them. We'd make sure they're enrolled. And, I mean, the Step Up program is a fine example of this that's changing students around. You know, the first thing we need is real teeth, though. We need teeth as a community. If someone's doing something wrong, there has to be consequences. And once there's consequences, we say you can either take the consequence for your action, or you can decide to take responsibility and change your life around and become a contributing member of society. And that's what's going to save us money in the long run. It's extremely expensive to lock somebody up, to take them through the court system and all that. If we have a community option, and what I believe is, to be quite honest, we failed as a community in taking care of some of the people that are here.
Okay. But my original question was, are you planning, when you talk about smaller government, because mm-hmm. I'm going to circle back to what you just said, too, because that's an interesting concept. But you said smaller government. Is this something like you would look at privatizing portions of the city government? Because you were talking county, and then so it's obviously mm-hmm. you were talking a county and city partnership.
Yep.
And we can get to that in a couple minutes. But when you're talking about cutting the size of government, how would you do that?
So I think by and large, a lot of the way people look at it is the government should come in and take care of certain elements. And I think that it's not necessarily cutting things out. It's creating partnerships where there's not partnerships that exist between the government and the community. And if that entails privatizing certain things, I think that's certainly an option we should look at. But like I said, the first thing I want to do is listen. But I think that there's probably places that aren't really efficient in the current government, and we need to look at those issues and say, okay, is this something that the community could do better? And if that's the case, then, you know, let's find a solution for that. But, you know, I'm not going into, you know, to pull the rug out. I'm going in to say, hey, where is places that we can partner better? Because this problem we have isn't going to be solved by the Reading City staff. This problem that we have is going to be solved by citizens and staff and leaders coming around a common purpose, finding what is going to work, and everybody gets gets to share some input with it, and we find solutions together, and we work hand in hand. That's how we're going to solve the issues.
Okay, so when you say the city is not serving its community, it's leaving people out.
Absolutely. So the big rumor I heard, and I've looked into it a little bit, is that all the homeless here are from out of town. They're getting bussed in. And everything, there's a lot of people that say that, but there's not any substantial evidence that that's the case. What I'm seeing is the people that are here that are on the down and out, they are born here, they're raised here, and there's a community here that's, when I say let them down, they're still responsible for their actions. And when they do something they shouldn't, they need to be held accountable. But what I'm saying is, when I walk into Shasta College every morning, I see trash on the ground. I pick it up, I throw it away. Because I want to create an atmosphere that is inducive to learning for students, for anyone that comes on campus, right? And I feel like we as a community can do a better job at that, creating an environment in Reading that's inducive to positive human behavior. And I think that there's some people that they kind of want to wait for somebody else to pick up that piece of trash. And I'm going to ruffle a few feathers, but I'm here to say it's time for everybody to start picking up the trash. It's time for everyone to start contributing. And we can point at the problem, right, problem behaviors, but I think it's time for positive behaviors that will combat that.
Well, I'm all over that one, about people taking care of their neighborhoods and all this, and people working together on that. I think nobody's going to be against that. When you talk about, also you talk about the people putting people in jail. First of all, there's not enough jail space. That's a county thing, but it impacts on us.
Yeah.
There is no teeth to anything. That when you're carrying a pocket full of heroin,
yeah, the first problem.
You pull out a pocket full of heroin, and you still get a citation.
Yeah.
These kind of things can only be solved with, and it isn't just putting more jail space in there. It's also getting more judges and more courtrooms and everything. As a city council, you can just recommend.
Yeah, I understand that there's certain things we can and can't do.
Yeah.
We can do something.
Your idea about taking people that are arrested and then releasing them into a community, like into a group that wants to help them, that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing?
I mean, everyone...
A church group or, you said, step up. They're saying, hey, we'll take this person and work with them.
Absolutely. Whatever it is. I mean, people are looking for a connection, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of science behind this, and I talk to my students about it because there's quite a bit of, substance abuse with the at-risk demographic. But it was an experiment with rats, right? They put rats in a single cage, and they gave them a water bottle that was either heroin or normal water, and the rats in a single cage, they'd take the heroin every time until they'd kill themselves a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put another person came along and ran into a different experiment. They said, let's try putting a rat park together, and they have all the rats in there. You know, they can play, they can copulate, they can do all sorts of fun things, right? They give them the heroin, they gave them the normal water, and the rats didn't use the heroin because they didn't need it because there was a community, and that's the kind
of thing. Where was this study at? I called you on that one, but I don't mean to, because that's an interesting what you're just saying here. And rats do have, we do study rats because sometimes it helps us. You're saying is if a rat's in a cage by himself and isolated,
right,
they're going to keep popping heroin.
Yeah.
But if they're in a group,
mm-hmm,
they won't.
Right.
Well, then what about people that live in these homeless camps? They're all together and they're all popping heroin.
Sure.
They're in their group where they can play together and copulate and,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
you know, I mean, their style, you know, their lifestyle isn't what you'd pick, but they're still choosing to be on heroin.
Yeah, and you're going to have people that do choose that,
yeah,
and that's where we need the jail space. Like, that's the thing where,
okay,
if people want to do that, then they need to go
then
to jail.
Then they
right?
need to go to jail. Yeah. But the one, what you're saying is you provide, if I'm reading this right, is if you provide an atmosphere,
mm-hmm,
where they can grow and share and be with other people, that they will wean themselves
right.
of these things.
And I see it every semester, right? There's students that come in. And they have to have some sort of desire to get better. If they don't, they get kicked out of the program. And it's not that we don't care about them. It's not that we don't love them. It's like, if you're not going to do the work.
Yeah, if you're not going to take responsibility of them, you know what? Go out there.
And the program has teeth. And we take a few people and we kick them out. And then everybody starts to say, oh, well, it's pretty good here. Maybe I should do my work. And that's how it works. But if we don't have And I've seen it. We're, you know, the different semesters. And the team that I have out there is just amazing. But we work together. We think about problems, right? And there's been semesters where we just tried to keep everybody no matter what. And it led to horrible things, right? But then you start to have actual teeth and enforce things. And all of a sudden, it changes the dynamic, right? And
well, people need a restriction.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, don't misunderstand me, but, you know, a lot of times people say, well, send them into the military because they need some stability in their life. Well, absolutely true. Some, however, to use the military instead of a jail isn't going to work because they're already warped. It's not going to work. The only thing that happens then is that we have them for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 months, and we toss them out because they cannot live with the stability that's in their lives, essentially. And people, oh, no, it's all those rules. Rules lead to stability.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not talking about you live your whole life. But if anybody knows me, knows I have trouble with rules. The fact I could do 30 years in the Marine Corps still astounds me. But what you're saying is that people, once they have their parameters there and they can work within those parameters, they thrive.
Right.
And if they don't, they're gone.
Right. And If we do it right, you know, we'd have enough jail space right now, but I don't think we have done it right. And I think we've got to increase the jail space, and we've got to create a system that has teeth, and we work our way backwards, you know. And there's some people that, you know, maybe they have mental issues that, you know, they need to be on medication. There's all sorts of things that, it's not a black and white, right? Every person needs a little bit of something different.
It's not a black and white.
And some people need to be institutionalized until we help them find a solution. But the bottom line is you have to want something yourself before we can. You can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped, right?
That's right. Okay, we're here with James Crockett, running for Reading City Council. He's coming up with some novel and new approaches for some things. We have people on the phone, but I've got to take a quick break right now. So, Bob, just please hang on until we get back from this break.
This Saturday, find out how you can make a difference at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. From working alongside animal ambassadors to mulching in the gardens, helping at events, and supporting our world-class educational programming and exhibitions. There are volunteer opportunities for everyone 13 and older. Attend our free volunteer workshop this Saturday, February 17th, at 9 a.m. in the museum at Turtle Bay. For more information, visit turtlebay.org or call 242-3143.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a very special Valentine's night, February 14th. That's Lady Bott and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge in Wind River Resort and Casino. $55 per couple with your club card. Free slot play, steak and lobster, champagne and dessert. Sound delicious? Limited seating on Valentine's night with a 4 p.m., a 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. reservation. Call 243-3377 for your Valentine's reservation today.
Searching for that perfect Valentine present for the special person in your life? Diamonds are a girl's best friend. And today only, Goldmark Jewelers has a special Levente of New York event presenting thousands of beautiful jewelry items along with Goldmark's incredible selection of gold, diamond, and fine gemstones. Don't miss the one-day-only event for the best selection at the best prices at Goldmark Jewelers, your diamond destination. In the Town and Country Square, Hilltop Drive, Reading. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. Close Sunday.
On Friday, March 9th, at the new Sheraton Reading Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, the Trade School is hosting the Electricians Ball 2018, an elegant evening of dining along with the Craftsman's Art Auction. This fundraiser supports scholarships and technology upgrades. Please help us create rewarding career opportunities in the skilled trades. Millions of jobs are waiting. Our young people deserve a prosperous future. Visit ShastaBE.com/events and register or call 221-5556. All are welcome.
The Trade School, the Shasta Builders Exchange. Train, build, succeed.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. We had no music because sometimes our computer goes, and it looks at Bob and winks at him. It's 25 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here, 47 degrees, going up to 66 today. And let's just go to the phones. Bob, good morning. You have questions.
Yes, I do. This fellow running for, I forgot his name, and I'm
James
sorry
Crockett.
For that. Pardon?
James Crockett. I could say like David Crockett.
Okay. King of the Wild Frontier.
King Crockett's grandson. Okay. But the thing is, unless he himself goes out there and lives with these people on the street and these people, which I have done in my lifetime, and it's almost impossible for you to turn these people around. Because you can do a lot of things with rats and animals. People are not always like rats and animals. And I've lived with them. I've had family involved with stuff like that. And that's where I went out and lived with them. And it is so hard. Unless they have their mind 100% trained that they are going to break this habit and stuff, it does not happen. And two-thirds of you do not make it. And don't tell me it don't cost anything to try to do this other than putting them in jail. Because it costs somebody something no matter what. And I've seen families break up over it for the same reasons.
Okay, Bob. And I don't think that James is thinking that it's going to be easy. You have a comment on
this?
You know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Bob.
Yeah. And I hope we get Bob back on the switchboard. Thank you.
What? He always gets Bob back on the switchboard. Oh. We're having a guerrilla war going on here, I think. We're here with James Crockett, who is who's running for Reading City Council, and he has some novel approaches to how he wants to handle some of the things here about using a community, community government partnership.
Yeah, so thanks for calling in, Bob. Appreciate the question. And I'm not afraid of questions. I'm not afraid of learning new things and hearing things. The first thing we have to do is listen, and I think you bring up some valid concerns. One of the things that people have been critical of me of is I believe in people, maybe to a fault, right? I believe in them when I shouldn't believe in them. And that's gotten me in trouble before with students and stuff that we should have gotten out of the program and that I work in and stuff. But, I would err on the side of believing in someone and trying to challenge them and push them. And what happens is when you work with people, when you engage with them, you start to learn what they need. And you don't know what they need if you don't actually engage with them. If you just kind of look at them when you drive by and say, wow, I wish that person would move out of town, you don't know what they need. But when you work with them, you don't take a car from 0 to 100 instantly, right? You go one at a time, 1 mile per hour up at a time. And a lot of these people, when you tell them, hey, we want you to have a really good job, and we want you to have really good relationships and have good relationship skills, and we need you to do that tomorrow. It's not realistic, but it is realistic to say you're going to do...
I'd like you to bathe tomorrow.
Right. I'd like you to bathe tomorrow. I'd like you to wear something like this. I'd like you to not hang out with this person. And when... they get picked up, and you can do a whole lot of research on this. It is not smart financially to lock people up. It is a drain on the system for the rest of their life. It is much better to spend 5 years rehabilitating somebody. Yes, that's going to cost a lot of money, but it's going to be...
it's costing less than if you had them in jail for the same 5 years.
Well, it's not 5 years they're in jail. They're in jail for the rest of their life because they come back out and do the crime again, right? And then they have another court date, and it's just a cycle. It's pennies on the dollar to rehabilitate people. In my opinion, it's not just the financially smart thing to do. It's we're morally obligated as a society, I believe, to help people when they need help. And that doesn't mean we do it for them. I'm kind of the if you don't work, you don't eat type of mindset, right? Like you gotta have some skin in the game. But there are people that until they choose to work, you can't do much for them. But going out and saying, hey, you know, you can either go to jail for 2 years or you can be released into this program where you're going to be monitored between, you know, your parole officer and a community organization. You're going to go to schools and school. You know, you're going to be helping out at this business. If we have problems there, you're going back to jail. And they understand that. And, you know, it's work once.
But they also have to see the goal at the end, too.
Right. And you, yeah. you get them into a program that introduces them to some of the things they can accomplish, right? So some things like, well, people would pay good money, you know? All you have to do
now,
is stay
after.
Have
to say, we're going to put you in the Marine Corps.
Pass a drug test, you get a job out there. 60, right? I mean, kids coming out of high school, pass a drug test, you could work 12
and
hours.
Stay off the drugs and operate your job. Yeah. No, I've got no. Now, let's get into some nuts and bolts.
Sure, yeah.
Here. Unfunded liabilities. Got any thoughts on that? That we're in deep trouble right now with that, or we can be?
It is certainly an issue.
As soon as the state changes the CalPERS changes that percentage again, it's going to be another several million.
It is certainly an issue, and it's a little bit daunting and discouraging to look at. And it's the kind of thing that makes me want to say, I'll let somebody else deal with that problem because I don't have a clear cut answer. My easy answer, right? My answer that just make sunshine rainbows answers is. As we grow the economy here, as we increase the tax base, some of those problems will not be as daunting. The reality is, though, there's going to be some hard negotiations that have to happen, and we're going to have to take a really good, hard look at things. And
What do you mean by that, hard negotiations?
We're going to have to take a look at things, and where we're at right now, most people aren't super happy with, right? Everyone's going to have to give something, right? And to say to the community, we need you to give this, but I'm not going to give anything. Or we all need to put skin in the game. And I don't know what exactly the answer is, right? Like I said, it would be great to just enlarge the tax base and take care of things that way. But if we can't, then we are going to have to take a look at the numbers and take a look at what is feasible. And
some give. I think that everybody's going to have to give.
Basically, yes. Making a request.
That's what you're saying.
Making a request saying, can we trim this back by a percent or even half a percent, right? And then next year we reevaluate and maybe we can go back the other way. But someone's going to, we all have to give, right? We have to give of time. We have to give of resources. This isn't a problem that's just going to solve itself if we're not going to step outside and pick up a shovel or.
Some people believe
something.
That the last thing I read about the Planning Commission was looking at up to 11. Shops to sell marijuana in the city of Redding.
Yeah.
What are your feelings on using marijuana as a way to fix that tax base?
That's a great question. My opinion on this has evolved over time. So I understand kind of the different angles quite well and have held them at various points. One thing that's kind of changed my perspective of it is working with the teens I work with. Every semester, I ask them, I say, which is easier for you to obtain, marijuana or alcohol? And every single time, without exception, every single student says, told me marijuana. We have a Schedule I narcotic that is illegal for them, certainly, right? They're under 21, and it is easier for them to obtain than alcohol, right? And alcohol is sold at hundreds of locations in Reading, probably, right? So here's the issue. This marijuana is causing damage. Now, there's arguments about there's some medical stuff. I'm not arguing against that. I'm saying when we have 18-year-olds that need to be growing and learning and they're smoking their life away, it's a problem. And it's a problem I'm dealing with on a daily basis. We don't have the people that are getting that tax revenue are the drug dealers. Okay, it's there. It's not going away. It's only going to increase with the move that the state's making. So why not, instead of, letting the drug dealers take care of things. Why don't we as a city come together, figure out what we can do, take that money out of the drug dealers' hands and use that tax money to mitigate some of those issues that I'm literally experiencing every day, dealing with students that have.
So you're saying use the drug money to up the law enforcement capabilities to take the marijuana out of the kids' hands?
I am, this is going to be decided before I'm there. I'm sure every penny of tax money from marijuana is going to be decided here pretty quick. But if I have my say on it, I'd like to see something where we do hire another officer or two. I think trying to regulate, talk about Stillwater Business Park. If we regulate marijuana companies to certain places of town so we can concentrate, instead of having three different officers all over town looking at these shops, making sure, well, regulate it, let people know this is where you and try to
put all the shops in out at Stillwater, huh?
Sure, why not? Right? I mean, I'll listen to other ideas, but if we can keep this in one spot or a few
kind of like the red light district during the Wild West days, huh?
Well, it's easier to police one spot than all over town and some of the stuff.
Do you really think it's going to keep it out of 18-year-olds' hands?
Absolutely not. I don't think there's any way to keep it out of it. There's
Thank
no
you,
way.
James, for the honesty
no
right there.
No, I don't. I
of
think
course
that
not.
You're dreaming.
Of course
you're
not.
Dreaming
you know what? If they've got it now,
case.
They're going to get it. You know what
right.
I mean?
So what I'm arguing is, I teach history. Prohibition did not work. But what we can do is we can take some of that money and use that money to mitigate the negative effects on society that at least I see on a daily basis, right? Getting kids involved in a program. Oh, you got caught. Guess what? Well, now you get somebody to watch you every day because you're making poor life choices. And we're going to encourage you to – now you've got to spend time with a grown-up that cares about you, that's going to want to invest in your future. And I know that might be the horriblest thing in the world to you. But, you know, in a few years, it's going to change their life. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we come together and do as a community.
Okay. I'm here with James Crockett, who's running for city council of Reading. He's got some novel ideas, but they're not weird. They're just novel. He's a likable kind of guy. This portion of the show is brought to you by Home Helpers. If you're looking for in-home health care, if you're looking for a locally owned, trusted provider of quality, compassionate in-home health care, you found it at Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. You're not going to get any better than Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. She customizes the home care solutions for what you need, whether it's short-term or long-term. Give her a call at 226-8350. That's ReadingHomeHelpers.com. We'll be right back with James Crockett.
Experience the thrill of yelling bingo and play at Wind River Resort and Casino. Don't miss our paper-only night every Monday. $200 drawings every session, rock and roll bingo, and $10,000 progressive bingo. At the end of the month, one lucky winner will win a four-night Baja cruise for two in our Putting for Paradise drawing. Earn drawing tickets all month long. Receive three tickets on triple ticket Tuesdays. Don't miss our $500 midweek drawing every month. Ask about bingo's give-back promotion and special drawings every session. So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. If you don't like to dob, let the machine do the work for you. Pre-sales available. Machines only, hands-free. Who says you can't win them all? Play bingo. Win a four-night Baja cruise for two in our Putting for Paradise drawing. You only have to be 18 to play. Check out our bingo calendar and download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Bingo calendar subject to change. It's playtime all the time. Wind River. At Wind River Resort and Casino.
Stone Kingdom provides you with luxury concrete and exotic rock features from around the world. Stone Kingdom at 290 Hartnell Avenue. Visit their amazing showroom where you can view dozens of colors of artisan concrete panels, whether it's interior or exterior, commercial or residential. Stone Kingdom will provide you with a realistic stone look, from kitchen and bathrooms, fireplace surrounds, accent walls, flooring and entries, to barbecue areas, man caves, columns and arches. Stone Kingdom. Visit their showroom at 290 Hartnell Avenue and check them out on Facebook. Stone Kingdom.
Why order days-old dipped strawberries through the mail when you can surprise your sweetheart this Valentine's Day with fresh, locally chocolate-dipped strawberries from Cookies and Yogurt on Hartnell Avenue and our new location on Eureka Way in the Sunset Plaza. Fresh, large, sweet strawberries hand-dipped in white and milk chocolate. Order early. Quantities are limited. For everything beautiful and something sweet, it's Cookies and Yogurt on Hartnell Avenue in the Cobblestone Shopping Center and now on Eureka Way. Check out cookiesandyogurtreading.com. Love those cookies and chocolate-dipped strawberries.
Please join us for the State of Jefferson 2018 Banquet and Fundraiser. It'll be held Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall. Doors open at 5 with a catered tri-tip or chicken dinner served at 5:30. You'll enjoy great food and awesome prizes, as well as live and silent auction items. All proceeds will benefit the Jefferson Legal Fund. Tickets are $35 each or get a pair for $60. Cost for a table of 8 is $500 and includes 8 dinners and $600 in prize tickets. In Shasta County, call Chris Kellstrom at 530-526-2352 for tickets or more information. In Tehama County, call Patty Smith at 530-586-2166. We'll see you Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And remember, the time has come for 51.
time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 here on the 13th of February. Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. And if you're not out at Wind River on either the 4 o'clock dinner or the 6 o'clock dinner or the 8 o'clock dinner, you're going to miss a great time. Linda's out there with her band, Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, an enhanced group. We've got more people in there. And she's going to be singing from 5 to 9. Tomorrow out at Wind River. The Wind River Valentine package is $55 for two people, and that includes steak and lobster and champagne and, you know, all that kind of neat stuff. That's a pretty good deal. If you've never had the steak and lobster out there at Wind River, it's very, very good. I'm here with James Crockett, who is running for city council in the city of Reading, and we have a caller. Robert, good morning. Do you have a question for James?
Yeah, I'd like to know what he's going to do about the voters, the other people on the council that are not going to have his same opinion, how he's going to take it like Gary Cadd did with especially unfunded liabilities, spending money we don't have. And also, I think you ought to put Bob back on the switchboard.
What do you mean by the switchboard?
Well, we really enjoyed the humor of Bob, and I hear that you let this guy go. He's, you know, he's quite creative, you know. But anyway,
I also know about the
unfunded liability.
Well, Robert, we're at, you know, we'll answer that. But you know, for anybody else who wants to call in, I'm not at liberty to say why Bob's not here any longer.
No, I understand. Just make it a comment.
All right, thank you. All right, James,
thanks for the question. Well, I'll tell you this: the principles of democracy from the very beginning are based on this concept called compromise, right? I'm not going to be able to go in there with my guns, you know, slinging the guns and saying, do what I want and you better. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to listen. And if I want 2% and we settle on 0.5%, great. But I think everyone feels it, and people know that they're going to be voted out if we don't come up with solutions. And we need to come up with solutions for the citizens, for the community. And that means doing things that aren't popular. It's easy to talk in generalities and try to be popular, and you know, I don't have all the answers. I have an agenda to make this community a place that my kids brag about when they grow up, that they're excited to live in, that they're not looking to move out, you know, not looking to go somewhere where, you know, there's not crime or there's more opportunity. I want there to be opportunity in this place. So this is personal for me. This is, you know, I'm going to fight, and I understand that I don't get my ways, and I'll compromise, like I said, but with whatever problem we have and the different opinions, I'm not scared of different opinions. I'm not scared of facts that don't necessarily agree with the opinion I want to have. We got to look at this stuff and we got to solve it.
Is the Stillwater, this has been empty since its conception, and it's mm-hmm. about finished, and we're paying, I forget, was it $600,000 a year or something? Yeah. Maybe it's not quite that much.
And it's a tough question. But
they've talked about making that the marijuana center, mm-hmm. All the, you know, it's been brought up before to the EDD, who's going to be on tomorrow, Economic Development Corporation. Mm-hmm. But also for it's been brought up by the city council. Now, is that a good idea? I mean, if we're trying to pull in like the tech groups out of the different parts of the country to put marijuana out there?
So the way I'm looking at it is, and I'm listening. I want to see what the community wants, right? But I would prefer the grows maybe go in places that are a little bit outside of town a little bit, and some of these industrial things that invite the kind of community and the type of individuals you want. Not saying everyone that smokes marijuana is some sort of low life, because there's certainly people that have serious issues that I've talked to that they need some help with their medication, that they don't want to do other drugs, right? But I'd rather bring some of those tech companies. There's all sorts of lots around in town that they could be part of, and I'd rather incentivize that than incentivize creating a great business outside of town in a little ways, if it's going to detract from the overall growth. I mean, what we need to do is we need to look at what do we want to do as a community, where do we want to grow as a community, what do we want to accomplish as a community, and we need to take risk. Anytime you want to do a business venture, it's going to take risk, right? Mm-hmm. Now you do your calculations, you try to make sure your risk is good, but we need to have a clear sense of where we want to go as a community. Do we want 20 dispensaries spread out, you know, peppered throughout the entire community? And that's how we want to do this? Or do we want to try to keep them in a certain location? And if that location is a certain spot, where does that need to go? Where do we want these businesses coming in? Now, I know a lot of them are going to have a say, too. They're the ones spending the dollars here, right?
But I think they're going to do it by some kind of, it's not a lottery, but almost like a raffle. If you pay this much money, you got to, you know, it's going to cost you this much money to have it. Now, let's move on to something else from here. And the, you know, the fact is that running for office is expensive. You have like a group of people, you know. You have, you know, I think everybody has, what do they call them? Their I don't know, whatever your political committee would be. You're a PAC. Do you have something like that? And do you have like meet and greets going and meet the candidate and give money to the candidate and go fund me things, or how are you going to get your money out of this? I mean, because it's going to take you money, because you're going to be running against people that have cash.
I know. I am.
Because you're running against Kristen and Francie, and the unions are going to be all over that.
Yeah,
so.
I have a feeling like I feel a little bit like a David in this scenario, you know, out of towner. You know, like I said, I have not been super active in the community. I have focused on getting my family started off right, focused on getting a good job and contributing, you know, to my students. And that's been my drive in my life. And when I first started thinking about this, I thought of every excuse. Money was the biggest one. One of the biggest ones, anyway. That I'm not able to raise money. People don't know me. And the reality is, I could spend 10 years building connections and getting it to where I'm going to have the political connections and the money to do this. But I'm not going to wait. And, I don't have, I got people that'll build a website for me and stuff. This isn't going to be cutting edge stuff. It's going to be, you know, bang for the buck kind of thing. But hopefully people see what I'm fighting for and they want to, join in that fight. And, for some people it might be holding up a sign. For some people it might be a financial contribution. But, the only thing I have right now, I did it last night because, you know, I feel like I got to come out from underneath this rock. I'm an introvert, by the way. I like to keep to myself. And, like I said, things don't change if you just keep to yourself, right? But I set up a Facebook. So it's Facebook.com/Crockett for council. Crockett and then the number 4, council. So Crockett for council. And, I have 3 really, really good reasons to run for city council. A picture is worth 1,000 words. So you can go see my,
see all 3 of the kids.
My very
your
clear
wife and
reasons.
Kids. Okay. Okay. I have to ask this. Any relation?
Great, great, great uncle. So,
great, great, great uncle, Davy Crockett.
So the
let this not be your Alamo here, buddy.
Well, you know, everyone's got to die. If you're going to go out, that's a pretty good way to go, right? Everyone knows about him because of that. But
your enemies lying at your feet.
His brother, who was a horse thief and a little bit of a scoundrel, went off north, and that's the branch I'm from. So
from the horse thief branch.
Yeah, I'm the horse thief, and you know.
Yeah, but
that's,
you know,
that's the way it goes. But we'll turn it around.
Well, I guess, you know, that, well, you know what, you kind of feel like, I don't feel like you're really a horse.
You got a
anymore.
Good sense of humor. That's going to come in handy.
Why would you take a job that half the people are going to hate you?
Well,
not hate you, but dislike everything you do, and you don't get paid for it.
The thing I was thinking about is, what do I really want to be in life? And I thought, I want to be a punching bag, and that will just develop great character and really help me forward my goals. No, I mean...
No. Because you want to help. Because you want to. I know why you're doing it.
I understand people are going to hate me, and you know they're going to judge me on all sorts of things. They're going to find out about things in my personal life or what I do or whatever, and they're going to, if something I can do can be taken 10 different ways, they'll take it the most negative way. But here's the reality: 10% of the people out in society are always going to throw stones at you, no matter what you do.
That's
and
right.
I'm looking and I'm talking to the other 90% that want to bring change, that want to fight the same fight I'm willing to fight, that want to see their community. Thrive. And that's who I'm talking to. The other 90%, they can throw rocks until their arms give out. I'm just going to stay here.
All right. We've been listening to James Crockett, who is running for Reading City Council. He has some novel ideas that, you know, on the surface sound like they're doable and might be something to be worth looking at. And if you want to join the fight and get on James Crockett's team, you go to Crockett for City Council at Facebook.
Yep. Facebook.com/Crockett for City Council. Or Crockett for Council. We've got to say this right. Crockett for Council.
Okay. Thanks, James. All right. When we come back, looks like we're going to have an open hour. And Bob and I got lots of stuff to talk about.
And Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR, Shasta Reading News. Brought to you by Tobacco and Brews. See their newly remodeled store, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Russian election interference, North Korea, the national debt. The nation's intelligence chiefs say these are among the leading threats facing the U.S. globally. National Intelligence Director Dan Coats says officials also concerned about a whole range of provocative moves by Beijing.
We have intensive studies going on throughout the intelligence community relative to A to Z on what China is doing.
Coats and other intel officials testifying now before the Senate Intelligence Committee are offering their insights into the leading threats to U.S. national security.
Those insights are about the spectrum of threats we're up against as a nation. But importantly, those insights are also about the work that the intelligence community does to push back on those threats.
Intelligence Committee Chair, Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina. Now that President Trump has released his fiscal 2019 budget, time to sell that $4 trillion plan to Congress. Could be a heavy lift for Budget Chief Mick Mulvaney and other administration officials.
Some lawmakers are complaining that budgetary spending remains too high under the president's proposal. Matt Gaetz of Florida says the budget would steal from America's future to pay for spending today. Some Democrats are decrying the White House plan to cut anti-poverty and safety net programs. Kentucky's John Yarmuth says this is how the president is making up for his tax cut to millionaires and big corporations.
That's correspondent Jackie Quinn. Investigators in Russia say it may have been a case of human error. Sunday's deadly jetliner crash near Moscow killed 71 people. British judge upholding an arrest warrant for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. He spent more than 5 years beyond the reach of the law, sheltering inside Ecuador's London embassy. The Dow down 77 points, NASDAQ up a fraction. More on these stories at townhall.com.
On February 16th, from PureFlix.
Samson, chosen by the living God.
A hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 16th. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
For unhappy timeshare owners, getting out is important, and with maintenance bills taking a bite out of your savings, now is the right time to call Lone Star Transfer to improve your financial situation. They've helped over 5,000 people get out of their timeshares quickly, legally, and ethically with a 99% success rate and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Let them help you. Call toll-free 855-551-7066, 855-551-7066 for a no-obligation consultation or visit them online at lonestartransfer.com.
A confidant accused of collaborating with South Korea's former president for personal gain has been sentenced in a high-profile corruption case.
Choi Soon-sil forced 50 South Korean companies to pay $71 million into two foundations she controlled. As the closest confidant of former President Park Geun-hye, she was able to deliver corporations high-level access to the upper echelons of political power here. For this, she's been given 20 years in prison and an $18 million fine. Her tough sentence is seen as having a potential impact on the future verdict of Park Geun-hye. The former South Korean leader is being held in custody prior to her own sentencing in late March.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell. South African President Jacob Zuma facing more pressure from the ruling ANC party to resign. The government struggles to resolve a leadership crisis. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. NASA could be out of the International Space Station by the year 2025.
President Donald Trump's 2019 proposed budget includes plans for a phase-out of NASA involvement with the International Space Station. The plan would have U.S. government funding for the space station end by 2025, with private businesses taking over operations. To encourage private development, the government would set aside $150 million. NASA has spent close to $100 billion on the space station since the 1990s. The Trump administration wants NASA to resume moon landings and eventually send human expeditions to Mars. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Newly minted Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says the global economy is recovering strongly now for the first time in a decade. But he adds the central bank needs to remain alert to any emerging risks to financial stability. To get on Wall Street at the moment, the Dow down 95 points. NASDAQ is off 6 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 here on February the 13th, 2018. Good morning. 5.5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here. And the news, as always, is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's been remodeled, but you still have the same great customer service and walk-in humidor. Everything there is absolutely fabulous. Okay. Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Today's weather, I've got a bad Bob out here. I think somebody's out there measuring windows.
Right. Well, it's part of the studio remodeling upgrade.
There you go.
By the way, maybe this hour I'll
we'll talk a little bit about that.
I'll read the announcement that I typed.
Okay. There you go.
Hey, today's weather, Sunday, high near 66 degrees.
Sunday?
Sunny.
Oh, sunny.
It's a sunny day. Sort of contracted.
So let's try this again. Uh-huh. I am a radio professional. I can do this. I can speak in the DJ voice.
Mostly clear tonight, a low around 37. High tomorrow, 57. Temperature dropping off a bit. Getting more like February during the nighttime hours. 37 for a low tonight and tomorrow. Daytime highs edging back up near the 70-degree mark. First chance of rain that we see on the horizon will be Sunday night. Slight chance of showers right now in downtown Reading, 44 degrees. And this report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Shasta Gas Propane, operating out of Anderson, California, giving discounts and to seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Hey, I am sorry I did not get to some of your questions here because my computer was going forward, and I didn't notice that it had moved up. But to let you know, our last guest was James Crockett, who was running for city council. He is strong second, you know, when Bob mentioned this to him, he is a very strong Second Amendment proponent, all right, believes in it. What were some of the other questions there, Bob?
They wanted to know if he was a Republican or Democrat, which the city council is, in fact, a nonpartisan.
But you know,
but he's a kind of a decline.
Well, no, he just says, I have no party preference. I go for the people that I think are going to do the best job. You know, he's not run for office before. I think his attitude is good. I told him truthfully, I think he's going to need money, as they all do. So, but now we've got a lot of things to discuss today. But one of the things I want to start off with, I'm a very private person. Linda starts to share things, and I say, I don't care what you share. Just don't share anything about me. Well, I am going to share this one, is that I had a colonoscopy yesterday. A colonoscopy is something that's kind of intimate, you might say.
A deeply personal
moment there. And the reason I'm talking about it is this. Colon Cancer Awareness Month next month. But colon cancer awareness is this. If you get a regular checkup, so you get a colonoscopy, you know, starting at the age of 50, or if you've had colon cancer in your family earlier, they can find it. They can cure it. Like, you know, there could be polyps in it, and polyps can lead to cancer. They find polyps. They can snip them off. But the big thing is if you get this checked, that they find it early, they can cure it. They can cure it. If you don't get it checked and it gets into your body and then it gets into your system, it's too late. That's it. You're toast. So the question is getting a colonoscopy. It's nothing to be frightened of. First of all, your insurance company is going to pay for 100% of it. That's right, 100%. Why? Because it's a way of keeping you healthy. Now, what's the procedure like? as everybody makes these jokes about you have to drink this stuff, you have to drink 12 gallons of this stuff, and you're laying in bed, you know, with the IV pumping this stuff into you. No. It's like, what, about a gallon of it you drink over 4 hours? You know, it's like 8-ounce glasses. Does it clean your system out? Oh, gosh, absolutely. Do you have to drink clear liquids the day of it or before? Yes. Okay, so then you come in and you go into the procedure, and I'm just talking about Dr. Danuka's office. I'm going to shut that door for me. I think he's going to be in and out a lot. Dr. Danuka's office is you come in, you sign in. They come back. You go back to in their brand new. By the way, the brand new offices that they have there. Like four times the size of their last place they had. You go in. They ask you a number of questions. You know, they ask you like 12 times who you are. They just want to make sure that everybody understands, including you, that who you are. They ask questions. You disrobe. You lay in the bed. Somebody comes in. They put a warm blanket. I mean a warm blanket, not just a blanket. It's one that's been warmed over you. They give you an IV, put an IV into you. The anesthesiologist walks in. He talks to you about the whole thing. He goes back over your medical records again for the third time, which I find very comforting. I don't know about you, Bob, but if somebody just comes in and wants to slap something on you, is it your right arm or your left arm, that kind of thing? But they go through it, and they ask you the questions. Are you allergic to anything? And it turns out this is the same guy I had the last time I was in there, 3 or 4 years ago. And then Dr. Danuka comes in, shares with you what the procedure is. They wheel you into the room. They turn on your side, and you're covered the whole time. You never once feel exposed, which is kind of important for people. You never once feel like your butt's hanging out in the wind, at least while you're awake. And then he says, "Okay, are you ready?" And yes, and he says, "Okay," and then you wake up 15 minutes later. 18 minutes later, back in the same room you started with.
Oddly enough, the two times it's been done, I was aware. The first time was very uncomfortable, but when I, under Dr. Danuka's thing, I was aware, but it wasn't just, it was not uncomfortable.
Well, did you say not to knock you out all the way?
No, I just happened to be slightly resistant to those drugs.
Not me. Boy, I tell you, boy, howdy. Now, then I got a class on these drugs. These are the same drugs that Michael Jackson took. And okay, I'm going to explain this. You remember how Michael Jackson died of an overdose, right? Well, this drug is, it puts you out, and it's for, you know, it's for light types. It's not deep anesthetic. But what his doctor did, and why his doctor's in jail right now, was he used to give Jackson an IV every night for this. And this type of thing is what happens is this does not put you in that deep REM sleep. So what you end up doing is you start getting fatigued until you have critical, fatigue syndrome.
Not to mention psychosis.
Yeah, because you're not sleeping because he had him on this. And the night he put it into him, this guy is a cardiologist, by the way. He walks down, makes a sandwich, walks around the house, comes back, finds Jackson not breathing. Skin blue, the whole thing, and he starts to do CPR on him, and he can't do CPR correct, and he's a cardiologist. So, you know, when you think about it, so here's all these string of things that happen using a perfectly safe anesthetic. Anyway, you're out, nothing. They come back, they tell you, the results of the procedure. They have somebody there because you are out. In this case, Linda, we walked out to the car. I felt great.
Full-color pictures.
Yeah, I have. In fact, I have some wallet size suitable. I will autograph for people that may like to have those. I wouldn't, but you can. So that's what happens in a colonoscopy. The reason I'm telling you this is people that fear it, people that put it off, like my good friend Ted, that put it off, you don't need to do this. This is something that can save your life. It is entirely painless. It is something that you feel. They were so professional there at Dr. Danuka's place at the Endoscopy Center and with the other doctors there. And it's their nurses and all, you know, the technicians there that make you feel, I mean, everything is great. And there's no reason, there is absolutely no reason not to have this. It can save your life. All right, there's my public service notice for the year, maybe for the next 4 years until the next one. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading with a watchmaker. They can design it. They can build it. They get gems from all over the world at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. This is the only place we shop for jewelry. Is it Four Winds Jewelry? When we come back, we're going to discuss a number of things here, such as a new man running, a retired deputy sheriff by the name of John Green is going to run for sheriff and is retiring at age 62. Really a good idea? We'll be right back.
Get that siesta or you'll miss the fiesta. Head on over to Tortilla Flats on Park Marina Drive, a friendly cantina with pretty señoritas that serve up dishes that taste as good as they look. The choices are endless. Enchiladas rancheros, fajita or chili verde burritos, chicken or beef piccata. Try our mouthwatering seafood enchiladas or burritos served with Tortilla Flats' own Spanish white cream sauce. All this and more served 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Dinners are served with beans, rice, albondiga soup or salad and complimentary chips and salsa. Tortilla Flats is a perfect place to end your day. Our popular happy hour is 4 to 6 p.m. with $2 tacos, half-off appetizers, and daily drink specials. Tortilla Flats even has a private party room for groups up to 30. Call for details. The next time you crave Mexican food, try Tortilla Flats, Redding's oldest Mexican restaurant where we serve the best margaritas in town. Tortilla Flats, 2800 Park Marina Drive, 1 mile south of the Sundial Bridge, where the fiesta never ends.
Searching for that perfect Valentine present for the special person in your life? Diamonds are a girl's best friend. And today only, Goldmark Jewelers has a special Levente of New York event presenting thousands of beautiful jewelry items along with Goldmark's incredible selection of gold, diamond, and fine gemstones. Don't miss the one-day-only event for the best selection at the best prices at Goldmark Jewelers, your diamond destination in the Town and Country Square, Hilltop Drive, Reading. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30, closed Sunday.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a very special Valentine's night, February 14th. That's Lady Bott and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge in Wind River Resort and Casino. $55 per couple with your club card. Free slot play, steak and lobster, champagne and dessert. Sound delicious? Limited seating on Valentine's night with a 4 p.m., a 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. reservation. Call 243-3377 for your Valentine's reservation today.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on expedition today. Good morning. 20 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 13th of February, the day before, the day before Valentine's Day. And I was just talking to you about Four Winds Jewelry. You know what? if it's been a rough, you know, if it's been rough since the beginning of the year, if you've done a couple of things that may be a little strange, then maybe you should go down to the Four Winds Jewelry 2225 Hilltop Drive and start making up for it. Hey, this portion, or girls, if you or ladies, or just anybody, really. You know, that's kind of a sexist thing to say because in today's world of shooting, there's more and more women joining the shooting world every day, as we find out when we're teaching ladies-only classes in concealed carry. But here's your chance then, listeners, to go on down to Bastiani Arms and find that right firearm or accessory, shooting accessory, for your loved one. They're located at 2539 Larkspur. And trust me, if you don't know a lot about firearms, going down there and talk to any of the people they have there. Great customer service. They welcome people that don't know a lot about firearms, so they can not only help them pick the right firearm, but also help them with anything else in the sense of holsters or all those kind of things. You're not going to ever feel like you're being talked down to at Bastiani Arms. They've got it all. Bastiani Arms is open Tuesday through Saturday. At 2539 Larkspur, open up at 9 o'clock. And when I say they close at 5, it closes, but they have customers there. This isn't the big box store that pushes you out. They're there to help their customers. Bastiani Arms. Okay. It looks like somebody has thrown their hat in the ring for running against Tom Bosenko. Retired Deputy Sheriff John Green is going to be running also for Shasta County Sheriff against Tom Bosenko. Says he will bring new ideas, new direction, new deputies, higher morale, and more bed space to the jail here. Well, you know, I applaud that. I can't wait to see how he plans to do this. And we'll invite John Green on, and one we appreciate his service to our community, and we will have him on. But I just can't wait to see how he's going to deal with this inactive board of supervisors that we have. I mean, you're going to put shock collars on him, which might be a thought, to see how he plans to do this. Since finding more bed space. Right now they're looking like they're going to put 60 more spaces in there, which is a lot better than just a sharp stick in the eye. But it'll be interesting to talk to John Green to see what his plans are for this. As we all know, I applaud. First of all, I applaud everybody that runs for office. I've been asked to run for office, I don't know how many times, innumerable amount of times. I choose not to. For a variety of reasons. One, for the business I'm in right here. But the other is that I just, I would not have the disposition to work in that type of, in an atmosphere. In the sense of having to, not getting consensus because I can get consensus, it's the sense of the bureaucracies that you go up against. I choose not to work in that anymore. I did that for a long time. But I applaud everybody that's running, and I welcome John Green to be on the show so we can talk about that. Okay, buddy.
We are unsticking a sticky email account. As anybody who has ever had an email account is aware, these things get occasionally convoluted.
I told him that yesterday. I said, I don't think I'm getting any emails here. Mm-hmm. I said, and I thought, well, maybe I just checked, ones and just dumped them out. But no, it's not only, it's the production and me.
Well, and part of the problem is, of course, the security measures that one must have in this day and age, so you're not getting an inbox full of love letters from Svetlana.
What's wrong with that? Oh, that's Svetlana. Oh, okay, I got you. All right, that's not the name Brenda uses when she's just teasing you, right?
Or offers of Nigerian millionaires. Who I got give one you
of
all
those. I got one of those the other day, and I just wanted to open it up and just look at it, but I chose not to.
By
just
the
to
way,
see what they...
boys and girls, if you get an email that says your bank account, your Netflix account, your this account, your that account, you need to fix it, and here's the link. Delete the email. Go direct,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Don't do that. Okay. All right. Now, this one, I'm telling this up to you, Bob, because it's past May. They're doing studies, and they're finding that people retiring, I shouldn't say people, they're finding that men retiring at age 62 can be dangerous. The mortality rate for men, not women, we'll get to women in a second. And men retiring at age 62, their chances of dying quick go up 2%. So if you figure how many people die around that age, you know, that's like another 800,000 people. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it goes up 2%. That for guys that retire at age 62. For women whose husbands retire at age 62, so they're around the house, they just feel like they're going to die. But no, I'm not making a joke here. This is what happens. Now, why do you think this is?
Well, I happen to know somebody who is in that situation, and this has been their life since about age 19. They have worked, and this never happens anymore. They worked for the same company for their entire career. That's been their routine for their entire life. Now, suddenly, that routine is gone. And when somebody is so locked into that pattern, and that we see this with often law enforcement people who retire after a long career, destroy the pattern, and unless they have something else that they can focus on, they sort of get into bad habits and things go downhill from there. So we're kind of bird-dogging this person we know and saying, look, you got to stay active on a bunch of things. Don't sit around and watch TV because that's a short trip to a long ride down to the funeral home.
You're right. You're right. And you know what? Look at people that what happens is people have a tendency to withdraw. See, if you have a job, you have something you do every day. This is part of your identity. I go to here every day, and you know, I say I can't wait. Now, if you retire and you've got actually have something to do when you retire, like, hey, I'm going to build all these shelves for my house. See, it gives mm-hmm. you something to do. If you pick up like a part-time job, or even if you go into things like volunteering, it gives you something to do. But what happens is people, for the most part, that the ones that are dying, have a tendency to withdraw and get back. And now, you know, they become sedentary. You know, they sit on the couch, they watch TV, they don't do things to keep themselves up and moving.
Yeah, especially for those who their entire circle of friends were from work.
Yeah, and now their friends may still be at work, and they're not.
They're cut out.
So,
yeah.
You know, I could not imagine, you know, retiring at age 62. But my father-in-law, who was 86, did. He retired. He got he had a really golden handshake. Maybe he's in platinum from Aerojet when he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, if I really want to get my mother-in-law going, I just kind of turn to him, you know, and while Tom's there, I go, "Wow!" I said, "Really wish that I could retire at age 62 because she worked on till she was like 68 or 70, mm-hmm. and she just turns and that's it." And Tom just gives me this look, and I'm going, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Dad." But he is an active guy. He has gardening. He has house projects. He just is busy from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. He finds these things to do. He gardens. He builds things. He does all this stuff. Puts together stuff. If it's starting, you know, the whole gardening season, he's going for it. All right. But here, so if you're thinking about it, and then you can think of people like Bear Bryant. When he retired, he's dead like within a week, I think. Other people. So, bottom line is, guys, if you're retiring, have something to do after that. And
join the auxiliary.
And wives, if your husband's retiring at age 62, which means he's going to be around you all the time, maybe you need to get a job, or maybe you need to find things for him to do. Otherwise, he's going to make you crazy. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about some other things that are happening in our world, including the Olympics. This portion of the show was brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service. Voted best in the North State. They can handle any HVAC system. Their technicians are trained on all of these, whether new or old. They put in an on-demand water system for us that works great. I can't say enough about Alliance Heating and Air. It's a better-known business, and they treat you like family. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane.
The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Saturday through Valentine's Day, Turtle Bay Exploration Park would like to show you how much we turtly love you. All memberships will be $10 off for this very limited time. We don't want you to miss out on the wonderful year ahead at Turtle Bay. From a newly renovated forest camp to world-class exhibitions and phenomenal programs and classes, use promo code TURTLELOVE online at turtlebay.org or visit the park to receive $10 off your membership. We look forward to seeing you at the park.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five-Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Nevada. Good morning, everybody. 13th of February, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Has everybody got your cards, got your stuff for your loved ones? You know, you can, if you don't have a card, you can always make something up. You can always give little things like this good for 12 back rubs during the year, once a month, or this good for washing your car or detailing your car. You know, you don't need to spend money out there. They, you know, I think our loved ones appreciate just the thought, if you just remember. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. Another veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. Go visit them. You're not going to be sorry that you got your hair cut at the very best hair barbershop in the world. And it's, you know what, I'm not the only one that thinks that. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens. Now, Bob, I saw something, and this comes out of the Olympic Committee, that is just really kind of interesting. One of the members of the Olympic Committee says, well, you know, our team's just not diversified enough. We have a lot of white people on the Winter Olympics team. And I kind of like, and I read this article and about this, and the guy that was writing the article was just, you know, he couldn't believe, first of all, that the guy was so upset about it, because it says, you know, 12% of, and he was speaking of African Americans, and he's, you know, 12% of our population in the United States is African American, and yet only something like 7% of the team is African-American. And I look at it, and I look at it kind of like this, that it's kind of a socioeconomic thing. I mean, I could be totally wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're talking about
skiing, bobsledding, figure skating, you know, all these things.
So we're trying to convert to create controversy where none really
exists.
I think, again,
the Olympics should be based on the fact of just how good you are in the sport and not – and not based on a diversity, some kind of diversity rule. And here's my reasoning behind it, is I'm not sure how many people, African-Americans, actually want to compete. Are they being kept from competing? Is there something like that? Is this a sport that is a type of sport that, you know, at certain colleges and universities that you go to. And this is something, a sport you start at, in many cases, from a child. You know, the 17-year-old won the snowboard slope routine, was being homeschooled by his parents in the evening so he could snowboard all during the day. So... But the guy's going strictly by numbers. But then if you look at the Summer Olympics, there are 23% of the team, of the summer team, is African-American.
So, right. By this logic, there should be short, fat, white guys on the Olympic basketball team.
And then you get into that when you get an 85% of the NBA is – but we're talking about the Olympics. So, you know, the question is this really a problem? Because if you go into it, is it really a problem – in the sense of there's not enough African Americans. If you look at our skating team, you'll see that in our skating team, the guy's one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world, is a young guy from Salt Lake City of Asian ancestry, as are the two figure dancers, the couples or pairs, a brother and sister or Asian. I mean, when you look at it like that, I mean, I'm not sure if this needs to be a problem. If it even needs to have the U.S. Olympic Committee get into this.
Who's the young woman with the 1,000-watt grin? Who's the short track skater?
Oh yeah, and she takes off. I mean, she takes. I think her name's Mambi. I think I'm not sure, but she takes off, and it's like whoa. And then they just had another young lady, and her name's Choli Lee, who is Korean. Who just won the American? Of Asian Korean ancestry, just won another one of the snowboard gold medals.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, this whole thing about looking at numbers.
Yeah.
You know, here's the other thing too. I really believe when you get into the skiing and snowboarding and all those kind of things, it's a socioeconomic is part of it. And even though that the Olympic Committee has put out, probably millions of dollars to try and get kids from all different types of backgrounds in. But I think, too, is that it has to be something that they need to have people in the sport. So the young man that's on the hockey team this year, we have the first African-American on our hockey team.
Yeah.
You know, now other kids are going to look at him through the Olympics and go, I can play hockey.
Exactly. It's going to inspire.
It's got to be an inspiring type thing. But to go out there and say, we need more, and you start grabbing people in, well, then what happens, I believe, then is then when you have failures because they're there because of a factor. You know, they have nothing to do. Yeah, it has nothing to do with ability. Then it's kind of like, well, I can't do. No, he can't do it. I can't do it.
Doesn't a quota system?
As opposed, look at your gymnastics team.
Yeah.
How many girls went into gymnastics? Mary Lou Retton, when they saw that, all these young ladies, and so on our team. Several of our very best gymnasts, and you just gotta love every one of them. African American.
Yeah. Yeah, so, if I'm going to critique within the industry that I work in, I'm going to say, what the hell is Katie Couric doing up there?
I don't know.
I've rarely seen a more unqualified sports commentator. Anyway, while we're talking about people finding controversy where none ought to exist, some columnist, and I think this was in the New York Times, took Elon Musk to task for the stunt of launching his Tesla into space. And the premise was, well, on the same day that they launched a Tesla into space, 80 people were killed in Syria. And this person was working really hard to connect those dots, somehow implying that instead of spending the money on something that you know what, got a lot of people's attention and maybe inspired some folks to look into getting involved with getting back on the road to space. That Tesla was somehow, by sending this rocket into space, he was not helping these people in Syria, who, by the way, have been murdering each other with great glee for the last 10,000 years.
At least.
You know, come on.
You know, when we start talking media and we start talking what's going on, here's the latest thing too, is people who are making the sister of Kim Il-un, you know, they're fawning on her. CNN and minis are fawning on her. Oh, she has outflanked Pence when it comes to diplomacy. Look at that radiant smile. And then finally, Jake Tapper goes, do you realize what you guys are saying? Do you realize what you're saying here? That you're talking about a woman who's in charge of a division of the North Korean government, of their political, I guess you would call it their propaganda area. If people don't buy into it, they're taken into prisons and killed. Do you realize this is a woman that you're talking about, a regime that kills and tortures hundreds of thousands and has millions enslaved practically? This is the North Korean regime, and these people are fawning over this woman. Right. I mean, this is the mainstream media that's doing this. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic when you see something like this. Why would they do this?
The same people who beg us to see compassion for those who have chosen to enter our country illegally are just gushing over this woman who is part of the regime that took in a young American who admittedly had done something stupid and essentially put him in a death coma and sent him back to die.
I know. But this is where we've gotten to, is that the hatred of Trump is so much. The Trump administration is so much. They will say things from a guy that's threatened to nuke everybody around him to enslaving, millions, has Americans still in prisons. And as you pointed out, a young man who did, yes, albeit he did something stupid. He took a political poster. They put him in prison and he came home. He died because of the destruction of this young man. Now, moving on to another political correct thing that you're just going to love. Two of the players on the American hockey team, women's hockey team, may be forced to remove the Statue of Liberty. They have a little Statue of Liberty, logo on their mask. The two goaltenders, they said they, you know, that the Olympic Committee may say that they cannot have that. They're wearing their goaltender mask with a patriotic design. It includes the American themed shield, a bald eagle, and an image of the Statue of Liberty. They're saying now is that the International Olympic Committee may tell them that they have to do something to their masks to make them more neutral. I'm not sure exactly.
Please.
And they're using this. If you look at the mask, they're proud of their country. And they said no item may feature the wording or lyrics from national anthems, motivational words, public political messages, or slogans related to national identity. Excuse me, but the Statue of Liberty is something that everybody in the world looks to. Last time I looked.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
hello, it was a gift from France.
Anyway, in the meantime, the team from our U.S. team from our ladies team beat, our women's team beat the Russian squad 5-0. Of course, the Russians have, they're competing. I don't know if you saw it, but they're not competing as Russians.
Athletes from Russia or something.
Athletes from Russia, but they're competing under the Olympics.
Olympic athletes from Russia. OARs,
from Russia, right.
Yeah.
And they're competing under the Olympic flag. And if they win, the Olympic flag will be raised and not Russia's. And why? Because Russia had a systematic state-sponsored doping schedule for their athletes that was just spectacular. When you read about it, about how they did it, including just having a window put into one portion of their drug testing facility that allowed them to take clean urine test and substitute them for dirty urine test, you know, urine with drugs in it or steroids or whatever it was. And it was, and the guy that did it was made a, you know, a great, you know, was honored by the Soviets until they got caught. Yeah. And then two of the guys that worked for him got killed. And then he ended up going to the United States to try and keep himself alive. But see, this is why the Russians can't compete, because, you know, say, I'm sorry, but you've got to prove to us that you did not use drugs. Well, and then people say, well, how can you prove it? Because they destroyed all the urine specimens. Yeah. So anyway, there's still like 140 of them.
Yeah,
competing.
Don't know if you got this little news tidbit. Researchers at Russia's top secret nuclear facility, their version of the Manhattan Project, as a matter of fact, were arrested by internal security police after it was discovered that the researchers were using the site's supercomputer to mine cryptocurrencies. Opportunistic.
Hey, there are a bunch of capitalists over there. Hey, let's take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Three locations, the newest one, of course, at 1845 California Street. This is a locally owned bank here that your friends are working at that is growing very quickly, and they want you to come down to see how they are moving local dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back after these messages.
Real people, real winners. You'll find all your favorite table games at Wind River Resort and Casino. Everyday favorites, like blackjack. You can't go wrong with a classic. Is single deck blackjack hand-pitched, more your style? Double up blackjack, three-card poker, and fortune pie gal. Side wagers, lucky ladies, golden 21, plus mystery card roulette. No one else in town offers this. We'll make each gaming experience better than your last. Check out our monthly blackjack races. $500 up for grabs, plus 500 free slot play. Don't miss our Monte Carlo tournament with a $500 add-on Thursday, February 22nd. Come explore our exciting table games and see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. Our friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. More games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. For all the table games details, download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Searching for that perfect Valentine present for the special person in your life? Diamonds are a girl's best friend. And today only, Goldmark Jewelers has a special Levente of New York event presenting thousands of beautiful jewelry items along with Goldmark's incredible selection of gold, diamond, and fine gemstones. Don't miss the one-day-only event for the best selection at the best prices at Goldmark Jewelers, your diamond destination in the Town and Country Square, Hilltop Drive, Reading. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. Close Sunday.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervin. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Tracy Edwards, and we would like to invite you to Glitz and Glamour at Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino's Year to Remember Roaring Twenties, Saturday, March 3rd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards, presentation, and silent auction. Celebrate the 70 organizations that received funds in 2017, with one organization receiving an additional gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund. Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino's Glamorous Roaring Twenties, Saturday, March 3rd. For event information, please call 242-4516.
The President's Day sale is going on now. Kia, America's best value. ReadingKia.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Real month, red and brown. Your life takes the time. Try to check outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know. if you wanna go.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio in KCNR 1460. The last segment of the show today. Tomorrow we have the Economic Development Corporation rocking in. And, of course, it is also Valentine's Day, guys. I hope you remember. And ladies. Bob, do you get Valentine's Day cards for Brenda?
On occasion. But might this year, because she's been through a lot, poor girl. You know, she had that surgery and stuff. And she's been taking good care of me during my eye stuff. By the way, I do want to say the folks over at Shasta, I sent her over the one over on Churn Creek, Dr. Brian Crum. Great folks.
You know, the thing about the, and then, of course, tomorrow night at Wind River, Linda Singing with her band, Lady Bot and Bluebirds, and it is going to be a great show. They got three seatings out there in Elements. First one's at 4, the second one's at 6, and the last one's at 8. I think the 6 o'clock sold out. I think there's still some seats at 4. They start singing at 5 and go till, I think, 9 o'clock there tomorrow. Hey, it's 47 degrees going up to 66 today. It's going to be sunny and more today. It's going to be a great week. Maybe a chance of rain on Sunday. You know, slight chance. But I tell you what, couldn't we use some rain and some snow? Let's go to the phones. Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Is this the world famous Ken Murray?
You've been talking about political correctness run amok, and I have one for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
It was either yesterday or the day before's newspaper, the local newspaper, had an Associated Press article about the eagle nest in Big Bear Lake, bald eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they're the first bald eagles to nest in Southern California in a long, long time. They have cameras up over, and the first egg hatched 2 days ago. The story said that the female eagle hatched an egg with her companion. I thought, give me a break.
That's pretty right there. I don't care who you are.
With her companion, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Wasn't the daddy eagle.
No, you know? No, it wasn't. It was.
No, it was just her companion.
Heather has two mommies.
I wonder if this is just, you know what, they have computer-generated stories now. And I learned that several years ago, that computers write a lot of the stories, you know, especially in the sports world, because, you know, they run on statistics and they write pretty good stories. You can teach them how to write. But I wonder if this is written by a computer, that when it comes to father, it changes it to partner.
Well, it didn't even say partner. It said companion.
Oh, companion. Okay, they're companion. I love it, Ken.
All right, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
You cannot make this stuff up.
No, now let's go to another very politically correct guy, Coach Bob.
Oh, man, you just hit it out of the park, Colonel. That's right. Hey, you know, I haven't heard this mentioned. I haven't been listening consistently through the couple hours, but am I the only person in your listening audience that got to see the Obama's portraits and think that they're the most ridiculous things I have ever laid eyes on?
And why is this?
Because they look stupid. They look like caricatures, and like somebody's purposely trying to make a comedic art gesture.
Really? No, I saw that. You know, I just read
there's something up on the web.
Yeah, I just kind of read the kind of headline that their portraits. Now, these are the ones that go, what, into the White House or to someplace?
They're going to be hung someplace.
Yeah. But you're saying it looks like somebody, you know, purposely made them look bad?
Well,
we're going to go to the White House.
I almost hesitate to go.
New Yorker says it looks like a Homer Simpson picture.
The New Yorker.
Oh,
I'm
telling you. The one of Barack in particular with this green leafy background. What is the purpose of that? What does that represent? And the one of Michelle, it is not a portrait. It's just a cartoon character.
Okay. Yeah, we're pulling it up now.
I have seen more convincing looking representations of people in a video game.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow, isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting? That's terrible. You don't want people but you would think is that I wonder if the Obamas had a chance to say yes or no on these when it's finished.
Well, I think they commissioned the artists, and they made sure that they had dark complexions, if you get my drift. They wanted Negro artists. And I'm telling you, if white people had been commissioned to paint those, I think the blacks would be up in arms claiming racism for making them look stupid.
I don't know if it makes them look stupid. I haven't looked at them yet, but okay.
Oh, well, take a look at it. I think, I don't know what you agree with me or not. Not that it matters.
I am puzzled. It's like we're not going to follow the formula, and no matter how stupid it looks.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
It's an embarrassment.
Well,
but that's me.
Well, you know what? And it'd be interesting to see if this is exactly what the Obamas wanted when it came out. Yeah, because, it lasts forever. All right. Thanks, Coach Bob.
Yep. Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.
Sort of different.
Views and opinions.
My good friend Randall Hemplant came in here and gave me a present. And this is something that, all you Second Amendment guys and girls, and you can conceal carries for carrying a pistol in your car or other places. If you want a place to put a pistol and it's difficult, it's a magnet. He bought me a magnet that you can put like under a table or on the side of a car, so you can actually, you can have a place to carry a pistol where you can actually reach it.
Ready access.
If you need it. Yeah, ready access. So thanks a lot there, Randall. I appreciate that. These are little, these are kind of little gifts. Somebody does something like that for you. First of all, I appreciate Randall Hempling so much anyway.
Radio hosts are frequently brought little offerings. Over the years, you've amassed quite a collection. Producers, not so much.
Well, you had 15. You had
I got
15
a coffee
plastic.
Mug.
I gave you a coffee mug yesterday that was brought in by the VFW. Come on, and you have 15 pigs of the plastic variety that you had that were pretty cute. The one thing I did do for you is I turned all their butts at you. The thing about it is when I start getting into this, I when you teach a class on concealed carry and you have 50 people in the room and you ask them why are you taking this class to a person. We used to get different answers, but to a person now. Protect myself. I do not feel safe, especially in the women's classes. I do not feel safe. So I try to get some responses like, so where don't you feel safe? Why don't you feel safe? And, if you bring up Safeway on Pine Street, everybody knows this place. Women say, I refuse to go there.
Yeah.
So then we
yeah.
talk about situational awareness and what to do if you're, if you go there. I mean, I shop there. I've never had a problem there. But then again, I'm 6 feet tall, and I walk purposely.
You have a Marine's eye.
And I look around. Also, I'm pretty much aware of everything that's going on. I say that, even though that Mike Moffitt snuck up on me one day. The thing about it is when we teach this awareness, and if you take, maybe we should teach a class to everybody, a free class for ladies and men about situational awareness, an hour-long class. That's all it'll take in a big classroom where you get lots of people in about how to keep yourself safe and to have a plan and to go into there's three different parts of the conditions that we can teach people to do that takes nothing to do with weapons. It has nothing to do with physical violence. It has nothing to do with that. But it's about keeping yourself safe. I think this is something that we should offer to our community we start with condition white, where you're walking down the street asking somebody practically to hit you in the head and take your stuff because you have no idea what's going on around you. You're looking at your telephone. You're whistling. You're just whatever you're doing. You're just
admiring the sunrise.
You're admiring the sunrise. You're happy. You're the little antelope. The little antelope out on the veldt. And there's a lion or a leopard sitting there,
or a cheetah or something
waiting to eat you. And now you're relying on a bad guy just not to hit you in the head. Well, you don't want to be like that. Then you go into the second condition where you're just being aware of everything around you, situational awareness. And then the third one is how to make a plan if some things start to happen. See, these things are easy to do. But and then you go on to the, into two more different conditions, one of which is to physically protect yourself and your loved ones.
But, go into that fight, flight.
Well, it is. And you get into the fight. Well, you get into the fight position. I'm a firm believer if you try to avoid it, try to avoid it. You have to. You have to try to avoid it in every way possible. But if it comes down to that, you have to be able. You have to be willing to fight. And you have to be willing to fight and fight and fight and keep fighting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might as well just, you know.
Do not seek the fight, but be ready to end the fight.
But moving on from there. Tomorrow, the Economic Development Corporation, can't wait to have him in here. Hope Tony's in the area. He's always out traveling. But, of course, if he can't make it, Todd's great, great substitute. He's going to be bringing in some other people. Everybody, have a great day. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
And Community Talk Radio for the North State is AM 1460, KCNR Shasta Reading the News. Brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. See their newly remodeled store, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my...
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The director of national intelligence gets frank about Russian hacking activities during the presidential elections.
The Russians utilize this tool because it's relatively cheap, it's low risk, it offers what they perceive as plausible deniability, and is proven to be effective.
And Director Coates tells the Senate Intelligence Committee this activity is not over.
There should be no doubt that Russia perceived that its past efforts as successful in view.